Daniel chapter 2 and the passage that we just read. Several verses, and I don't want to be too long. I tend to talk a long time, and hopefully I will shut my mouth when I'm supposed to, but that the Lord will help us through this time. And I'll just give you the title here at the beginning. It's called, When God Speaks, Obey. When God Speaks, Obey. We look in here into a passage in Daniel chapter 2 where God was definitely speaking. And the people of Israel, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people had become captive in the land of Babylon. This was the people that had been taken captive in the first Babylonian exile, or the siege on Jerusalem in 605 BC. And interestingly, you know, as you look into the history of the people of Israel, this was not the first time that God's people were in bondage, were in captivity, and so many times was because of their own sin. It was judgment upon them from the Lord. And honestly, we should be thankful that God works, that God does bring His judgment down upon us. And we do not enjoy the wrath of God, but Hebrews chapter 12, we can think of in that passage where it talks about that God chastens us. And you think about what today is, a father, God our Father, as He chastens us as His children. And we do not rejoice necessarily in the chastening, but it reminds us that God our Father loves us. And even though in this time of captivity, God did not stop speaking to His people. And I'm thankful for a man like Daniel and others that chose to live for God, to live righteously in a very difficult time, no doubt a time where others around Daniel, people that were Hebrew people just like him, had given up and had just been frustrated. And I just have to be honest with you, these days of being separated from our church family have been very difficult at times. And even just this afternoon, trying to get a Zoom Sunday school class going, just so you kind of have an idea of what happens, we divide up into to two classrooms, which is already confusing enough as it is. So today we just went to sent the girls away to one classroom, and then the guys stayed in the main room. I messed up on something, so we had to bring the girls back into the main classroom, and I think we had to do that three times. So the girls went into their class, thought they were getting started, and came back into the main room, and we said, welcome back to you. And so finally we got through it, but I'll tell you, it's at times if we let the devil work inside our minds, we can be greatly discouraged. And I want to encourage you, church family, and others listening and watching today, to be encouraged in the Lord that God is at work in these days, and God is speaking. God continued to work in the lives of these people. And may I tell you that the word of our God is so precious. It is so valuable. In the book of 1 Samuel, you don't have to turn there, but chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. There was no other prophet besides who Samuel would eventually become. At this point, Samuel was not the prophet. He was still a boy, but God was going to speak to Samuel. Samuel had to be listening to the Lord. And the people had to depend on prophets to bring them the message of the word of the Lord. Don't forget that they did not have the Bible that we have today. We understand that the books here that are written before us, when these people were living, they did not have these books to go by, to look to. And Samuel would eventually become the prophet, but those people looked to the prophets to be able to get the message from God. And sadly, during this time, there was no prophet to bring that vision or that word, that message from God. And as the Bible says, the word of the Lord was precious. And I wonder how, especially for those of you living here in Canada, in the United States, where we have multiple copies of the Bible in our hands, and I have old copies that, honestly, I'll admit to you, I don't read them anymore. It's the same King James Bible that I use today, but I have new Bibles, and I don't read those old Bibles anymore. I hope you understand what I'm saying, that I'm not getting off track here, but those Bibles are just extras that I have. And the reality is we have multiple copies of the Word of God, and we may not value it the way that maybe somebody in another country where they have one for every 10 people or one for 50 people to sit around and look at that one Bible, and even just if they could have a couple of pages from that one Bible and they can share those pages between the different people where they live. And the Word of God is precious. And I trust that in your home as Christians that you esteem God's Word highly and that you value the Word of God. Proverbs 29 and verse number 18, it says, "There where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law," or "he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And that word vision has to do with that word from the Lord, the message from God. There was no open vision in the days of Samuel. The word of the Lord was precious. And where there is no vision or where there is no word of God, look, the people perish. And so we see the importance to hearing from the Lord. And throughout the history of the world, God has spoken during the darkest of times and in the worst of places. In our text, God had not forsaken or forgotten His people. He was still at work and He was still speaking. Today we can look around us at a world that is crumbling. And many are wandering, many are lost or searching and just trying to figure out life's way and to navigate through the troubled sea that really seems to have no end. Today we don't need more laws or bills to be passed. We don't need more ideologies to be made up. We don't need optional lifestyles. As Amos says in Amos 8 and verse 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but of the hearing the words of the Lord." Reality is we need the Word of God to be proclaimed like never before through God's Holy Spirit. And in these dark days, remember, dear Christian, that God's power has not weakened. These dark days, God's light has never darkened. And I say to you that these very dark days, that God is speaking. God continues to speak. The question is, are you listening? Are you obeying? This thought of when God speaks, obey. When God speaks, obey. Now, this is Father's Day, and I'm thankful for the father that God has given to me. I'm thankful that my dad is still alive today. I was able to speak to him before the service a little while ago, and it's hard as you're, you know, we're all getting older, but as your parents age and you realize that your time with them here on earth, we don't know when it will end, but you know it's less and less, and you have less time, no doubt, with them than we've had prior to today. And I thank the Lord for the dad that invested into my life. And men, if you are a father, I call on you listening to this message to be the first to recognize God speaking to you. When God speaks to you, listen and obey. Men, your family depends on you to listen to the Word of God. Your children watch how you respond when God speaks. And I'll remind you that I know in the comforts of your home, wherever you may be watching this video, that it's easy to relax and become casual around the preaching of the Word of God. But make sure that your children know and they see in you that this Bible is very important. And when the preacher, the man of God, gets into the pulpit to preach, that he is respected just like he would be in a church auditorium type setting. Because we're respecting, not necessarily, we respect the man, but ultimately we respect God. And we turn that attention, that respect, to the Lord as His Word comes forth. Our family's spiritual welfare is at stake if we choose to disregard the voice of God. We must listen. We must obey. First of all, this afternoon, I want to point out to you that God speaks. Very simply, God speaks. Here in Daniel chapter 2, in verse number 1, before we get into the message, I would like to pray, though, as we need the Lord's help and His working this afternoon. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this privilege to be in this pulpit today. I do not take it lightly, Lord. I thank You for the honor it is to be able to preach from Your Word. And Lord, as I've prepared, You've already preached to me. And many things that I may preach about here in this pulpit, Lord, You're still working on me in those things. And I pray that the people of our church family would never think that the pastor is unreachable in the sense of I can't live a life like he does, Lord, for we all have struggles. We're all sinners saved by grace if we are a child of Yours, Lord. And I thank You that You are working in us to do Your perfect will. I pray, Lord, that You would accomplish it today. I pray that You'd strengthen the dads that are listening. Oh, Lord, we have such an absence of good fathers in our homes today. Sadly, many many men have become dads and have left the homes and forsaken their raising of their children. Lord, I pray that you'd convict even men that may be watching this today, that have left their home and they need to get things right with their children and be a father as you would allow them to be a father. Lord, I know there are some men that could never happen again, quite possibly. But Lord, I pray that you would be the great sufficiency that each of us as dads need. And men that are listening that aren't dads, Lord, that we would be challenged to listen, to obey your word as it's spoken. For moms, for children, for grandparents, many other people that are watching today, Lord, that we would be convicted that when your word is spoken, that we would obey it. Please speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 1 here in our text, as Pastor read it a moment ago, it says, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him." Now, no doubt many of you have had dreams. I've had dreams, and strangely enough, I do not remember my dreams like I used to as a child. As a child, I used to remember, or I remember dreaming about things that I longed for, that I wanted, things that I could never have, and then I would wake up, you know, after enjoying them, waking up and realizing I didn't actually have them. And now I can hardly remember what I dream about. I don't know if that's just the way my mind is leaving me or how it's working, but I don't remember those things. But some of you may remember your dreams. But something about dreams is God would speak very commonly, especially in these days that we look at in the Bible, very commonly he would speak through dreams and through visions. And Nebuchadnezzar, understand, Nebuchadnezzar was a lost man. And God speaks, first of all, to the lost man, to the man that does not know Jesus Christ as his Savior, does not believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible that you and I may believe in and may have placed our faith in. But God here spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar didn't know that it was God speaking to him yet. But here in this passage, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And the Bible says, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Nebuchadnezzar had this dream that just stirred him up, and the Bible says his sleep broke from him. I have a feeling that means he woke up, that he could not sleep. This dream just worried him. What did it mean? Another place that we see that God spoke to a lost man is in Genesis chapter 20. If you'll turn there, we'll read it quickly. Genesis chapter 20. If you remember, the practice that Abraham had was to hide the fact that Sarah was his wife and mentioned that she was his sister. And we know that's partially true, but she was his wife. So let's look at it in verse number 1. "And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?" You know, in a very adulterous world in which we live today, I think we should take note and have the same fear that Abimelech had of the Lord when he came to him. He says, "You are but a dead man." And it says in verse 5, "Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. And in the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." And God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and she shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." And we see there that God spoke to Abimelech in a dream. We're looking to the truth that God speaks to the lost man. Another place is where God spoke to Pharaoh in the days of Joseph in dreams. And of course, that was Joseph's way out of prison. God used Joseph to come and to interpret the dreams that Pharaoh had, and he was stirred. Another time that God spoke, now it wasn't necessarily through a dream, but if you remember in the book of Esther, where King Ahasuerus could not sleep, and it was the night before Mordecai and Haman would come in and have Mordecai put to death and have the Jews put to death. And for some reason, because he couldn't sleep, he wanted the history books pulled out. And that is not a book that I would necessarily long for if I couldn't sleep, but maybe it's a good way to put you to sleep. If you think about history, a lot of times we may avoid it, but there was something, some reason that God had this man pull out those history books, the what was recorded about what took place within his kingdom. And here, God used Mordecai to have spared the king's life. We won't go into the details in that story. You can find it in Esther chapter 6. And the king found out about what happened. He never knew that it took place. And during that time, he asked the those people that served him, and he said, "What happened to this man? What was done for this man?" They said, "Well, nothing." And he said, "Go see who's out in the courtyard." And what you know it, Haman just happened to be in the courtyard. He had his own plan of destruction that he was going to bring before the king. And of course, when the king's servants come out, and they tell Haman exactly what Haman said should be done for such a situation, they said, "Go ahead and take these things," and you do just that to Mordecai. And we won't preach about that. But in that moment, in that very time when Haman just happened to be in the courtyard doing something, getting prepared to come to the king, God was working in the heart of the king. God was speaking to the king. So first of all, God speaks to the lost man. But secondly, God speaks to you and me as a believer today. God speaks, first of all, through His Spirit. As a believer, this is the Holy Spirit that you received at salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." You'll notice verse 14, it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." We go from the lost man, yes, God can speak to you, and if you are without Christ today, God no doubt has spoken to you, and very possibly is speaking to you right now. It may be for salvation that, first of all, you need to come to the Lord and be saved, trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen to His voice and be obedient to that today. But as a believer, as a Christian, as a child of God, we have been given that Holy Spirit to be able to understand the spiritual things, as we've just read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As a lost man, you do not have that Spirit indwelling you. Yet God's Spirit will work on your spirit to bring you to repentance and salvation. Jesus said that we must be drawn to Him. The Bible says in John chapter 3 that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Myself. There has to be that drawing of the Lord upon your heart and you turning and receiving and listening and obeying that drawing as the Lord is working on your heart. God speaks through His Spirit. Secondly, God has spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ. We won't look at it, but Hebrews chapter 1 is a great passage to look at there, verses 1 through verse number 4. A couple of verses, Jesus was God's display of love to us. We see that in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." John 1:14, "And the Word, speaking of Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God has spoken to us by His Son. You know, many people that are possibly looking into the realm of atheism and just rejecting the whole existence of God have said, you know, if God would just show Himself, if God would just come down and just reveal Himself, and dear person that listening, maybe that's your case today, He did. He did through the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says He was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God. He was God in the flesh, and He still is God today. And dear lost person, if you are listening today, God is speaking to you. Don't push him away. Sadly, even in the day when God was flesh here on earth, Jesus Christ, even he was rejected. And don't think for a moment that, you know, when God reveals himself to you, then you'll believe. Don't push it away. You have an opportunity. God is speaking. So God has spoken through his Son, Jesus Christ. And thirdly, God speaks through his Word. God speaks through his Word. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through verse 21. God speaks through his Word. Thirdly, God speaks through his Word. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. As we talked about at the beginning, that this book that we have here, I trust that you believe with all your heart that this is the Word of God, that it's the message from God that he has given us in written form, that sure word of prophecy that we have been given. And as Peter writes, he says, and we do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. I wrote down another verse, is Proverbs 4 and verse number 18. And it says there, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And dear Christian listening, if you will take the Word of God and you will endeavor to allow it, first of all, for you to be in it, and then for it to be in you, that light of your life will continue to shine brighter and brighter. There is no need, no reason that the Christian's life should become dreary and without purpose. The more that you love the Lord, the more that you get in His Word, the brighter that path will become. Proverbs 4 and verse number 18. God has spoken through His Word. Number 4, God speaks through His people. God speaks through His people. One example we find over in Acts chapter 8, if you'll turn there please. Acts chapter number 8, verses 30 and verse number 31. Philip here has a great opportunity to be able to be one of the very few that have ever been teletransported. I think they're still working on being able to do that. I don't know that that's available yet. We can do a lot of other things virtually, but for some reason we've not been able to transport ourselves virtually. But God allowed Philip to experience that, and God brought him to a man, as we know, as the Ethiopian eunuch. And this man is reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip has the opportunity to share with him the gospel. And he asks him, do you understand what you read? We find this here in verse 30. It says, and Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Verse 31, and he said, how can I? And I want you to notice, it says, except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. We see a very clear picture here of how God uses people. God uses His men, His children, those that we would call Christians. God uses people to work through and to speak through. Specifically, God uses pastors. We have a great pastor here in this church, and it's been a blessing to know him for the many years that I've known him. I've known him so long that my hair has turned gray. I don't know if that's his fault or not, but it's been a blessing to be able to serve along with him. And I have seen Pastor Turner invest his heart into the people of this church. And no doubt, many hours of prayer that have gone into the people of this church. And Anchor family, you can remember that your pastor loves you and that he cares for you. I hope that you pray for him. But you know, one way that you can support your pastor is to take heed to the counsel that God gives to him to give to you and I, to listen to it, to make application with it. And don't just listen to these services that we do here on live stream. See what God will have you take away and make the application Look, life is too short to just avoid the messages that God is bringing. God speaks through pastors. God speaks through preachers. You say, what's the difference? There's a big difference. Preachers is somebody that you may turn on the radio. Be careful with that. You may turn on podcasts. I love to listen to preaching on podcasts and various things. But these men aren't my pastor. They may be somebody else's pastor, but they're not my pastor. Do we make light of what they're preaching? Of course not. If it's coming from the Word of God, look, it's applicable for you and me today. So God speaks through preachers. God speaks through teachers. It may be Sunday school teachers. It may be school teachers. It may be homeschool teachers. That may be parents that are homeschool teaching. Some for the very first time in your life and not planned for. But God speaks through teachers. And children, God speaks through parents. Listen to your parents. As we learn from the Apostle Paul, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. God has a responsibility for you as children to listen to your parents because God is speaking to you. Children, don't think that you're off the hook because God only speaks to adults. God speaks to children. Think about Samuel. I spoke about him earlier. God was speaking to Samuel, a young man that didn't even know the voice of the Lord. And Eli told him to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Children, I trust you have a heart that says, I want to hear what God is saying to me. When the Sunday school teachers come on, Brianna and Emma for our anchor family, with their peculiar hats that they wore for their class today, if you watched it, you'll understand. If you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. It's on our website, and I'm sure they'll appreciate the advertisement for that. I'm sure they're angry at me right now. We can learn from people that are around us. And children, you listen to what God is trying to say through those lessons, what God is trying to accomplish. And teenagers that listen, some of you still had your face there with your name on it today, and I didn't see your face. So hopefully someday soon we can see your face on the virtual classroom. The truth is that God is trying to speak. And are we listening? We can learn through godly friends. Iron sharpeneth iron. And the reality is we can strengthen one another. Unfortunately, we often look at it in a way if somebody approaches me as a godly brother that they're judging me. And we miss out. You say, don't judge me. You can't judge me. And the whole purpose of them coming to you is because God laid something on their heart to challenge you with. Look, the words reprove, rebuke, exhort are still in the Scripture. You say, you can't judge me. The reality is God speaks through other people. And we ought to be willing to take that advice. There is no doubt that God has been speaking in these days in which we are living. The question is, how have you responded? How have you responded? Go back to our text to see the response of the king. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 2 if you've looked away from it. Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 2. Of course, we left off. The king had these dreams and the king was, he could not sleep. His spirit was troubled. And I have a feeling many of us have been in this place during these days of COVID-19 where we've wondered, what is going on? Is it the end of the world? What's going to happen? You know, it may be the end times and it may not be. We don't know when Christ's return is. There may be hundreds of years still yet to be lived before His return. We continue to live each day as if He could return today. Yes, because we don't know. But don't live in such gloom and despair and discouragement thinking, I have to live through all of this. Look, this is a historical moment. And for you kids, you can one day tell your children what you lived through. And they'll think, I can't believe you lived through something like that. This is historical, and you should be excited about being able to have lived through such a situation. I'm not trying to make light of it, but the situation, unfortunately, has grabbed a hold of too many hearts and minds of believers to where we've become ineffective for the Lord, and we've missed the message that God is trying to get across. But here in the book of Daniel, we find that the king looks for help. The king goes to find help. It says in verse 2, then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. you know, these guys are used to doing something like this. These people are very deceptive in what they do. And I just want to give a brief overview very quickly of these people that he summoned, that he called. We see, first of all, that he called for help. And number one, he called the magicians. These would have been people that produced counterfeit miracles. These were would have been the same that Pharaoh had called for in the days of Moses when they came. And of course, Moses cast his rod on the ground and it became a serpent, and the magicians did the same thing. We don't know exactly how they did that, but there were a couple of those things that took place where the magicians were able to repeat that. Adam Clark calls them decipherers of abstruse writings, something that is hid or concealed. They were possessed of occult knowledge. Number two was the astrologers. And we often think of these more people that study the stars and planets and how things line up, and we call that astrology. These were people that practiced enchantments. These would be people that were called necromancers. These were people that would have asked the dead or called out to the dead for help, to the spirits, asking them for advice for the future, ultimately seeking satanic, demonic help from that world in which you and I should have no communication with in such fashion. Number three, we come to the sorcerers. The sorcerers. These would have been those that would whisper a spell, that is to incant or an incantation, somebody like a witch, a sorcerer that we may think of today. And also then number four, the Chaldeans. Chaldeans were considered the wisest in the land. And if you remember in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 4, you would see there that Daniel and the other Hebrews, some of them were chosen out to be trained in the Chaldean language, in the Chaldean way. And so choosing to remove them from what they had been raised as a Hebrew, as a child of God, as knowing God and the law and walking in the ways of the Lord. If you remember Daniel, he said, look, you just feed us this and we can live on it. The diet that the God of heaven has given to us. And of course, God honored them with that. But you think about what the king was trying to do was to take away that God dependence from them. Daniel's own name was changed to Belteshazzar. Daniel's name meant God is judge. Belteshazzar means may Bel protect his life. Just so you know, Bel is not the God of the Bible, the God of heaven. And so even Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, their names were changed to sadly the names that we remember them as, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, practicing the same thing. We're taking them away from their roots of being, understanding that I am to fear the God of heaven, to fear the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I find it very interesting to note that Satan would seek to fill the mind of Daniel with his wicked devices. Understand that Daniel is a prophetic book. And it's an important key to understanding the book of Revelation and the future still to come. Satan was trying to cloud out the mind, to change the heart of Daniel to where Daniel's vision of the Lord would get off, but Daniel stayed faithful and Daniel stayed true. Satan will use the world and its system to indoctrinate your mind and your family's mind to set you off course of listening to God and His Word. You ought to know as parents what your schools are teaching. We are in some very dark days here in Canada. There are some cities that have passed laws on things that I won't necessarily mention right now, but things that are going to take freedoms of the parents to be able to raise their children how you believe God wants them to be raised. If things get passed, and I'm not causing you to fear, but parents, I'm telling you, this is a wake-up call. And if we let these things go just unnoticed, we turn a blind eye to it, these freedoms will be lost, and we will lose the opportunity of pouring this book into their hearts. We ought to pray for God's guidance in these days. But Satan will use the teaching of this world to seek to indoctrinate your children. And don't think it doesn't come from the television, because television has indoctrinated children and families for decades. And now we move into far more extremes on the internet and social media and various things like that. There are dangers, parents. You say, what kind of Father's Day message is this? You're supposed to be encouraging me as a dad. That's what I'm doing. I'm challenging you to take a stand in your home, to stand for truth, to stand against the evil attacks on the home. I challenge you not to bring, as we've looked at these things here, we've looked at the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers. I challenge you not to bring these types of people into your home, whether in person or by meeting with them. And today, on a Zoom call, there are various ways that you can bring them in. By movies, video games. The world will try and paint these types of people as harmless. Don't play around with the devil, dear Christian. He knows how easily deceived we are. The book of Proverbs talks about the simple man and how so easily he can take it one step at a time, and before we know it, we are following the culture, the lifestyle of a wicked, satanic world. Dads, do your research. Find out what those videos, what those video games are all about. See what the story is behind the games. Look, don't let your teenage son just get a video game and say it's great, you know, it's rated teen. Don't let the world set the standard of your rating for media in your homes. You need to be the one to set the standard biblically. Get in God's Word and find what that standard needs to be. You say, well, this Anchor Baptist Church service doesn't meet my standard, so I'm shutting it off. Hopefully, you won't do that today. That you set an appropriate standard, that the Word of God, as I said, is valued in your home. And your kids don't see that you'll spend far more on a video game than you will on a Bible or having your kids trained in the Word of God. What do we value today? What are we looking at? Who are we allowing to influence our home? We won't look at it, but a great passage to look at is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, dealing with these types of people that the king cried out to. The king called for help. Many have responded by seeking satanic counsel. I mentioned Pharaoh in Joseph's day, Genesis 41 and verse number 8. He did the exact same thing as this king is doing. Also Pharaoh in Moses' day, Exodus 7 and verse number 11. And then King Saul, sadly, even as well, went to a witch to find direction when he could no longer hear the voice of the Lord. He went to find help, and Samuel had already died, and so he asked that witch, and of course he had to cover himself up so she would not know that he was King Saul, because she wasn't supposed to be alive. She was supposed to be put to death, even according to the commandment of the Lord. She was still alive, and King Saul deceived her, and she brought Samuel up. And of course, she was shocked, and there's so much that we can learn from that passage. But I call on you to recognize how this world leads and is guided ultimately by the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself, working behind it. Many have responded by seeking satanic counsel. And lastly, under this point, the answers are not found in the ungodly counsel, that satanic counsel. Psalm 1 in verse number 1 and 2, let's turn there quickly. Psalm 1 in verses 1 and verse number 2. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Dear lost person, if you're listening today and you're trying to figure out life's way, you're trying to figure out the answers of what's going to happen, how's it all going to end, what's going to happen to me, you are not going to find your answers in this lost world, in this ungodly world. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where's the answers? Verse number 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. When God is speaking, a wise man will turn to him to listen and obey. So we've seen, first of all, as we looked at in our passage here today, that God speaks. And secondly, what we've looked at is the lost man's response. He called for help. Many responded to the satanic counsel. And then thirdly, the genuine wise man's response. The genuine wise man's response. Looking back in our passage there in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Though Daniel and his Hebrew friends were being trained to think otherwise, Daniel saw the importance of seeking the wisdom of God and staying true to Him. Look with me in verse number... We've read kind of what took place. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar said, the dream is gone from me. And they said, well, we can't tell you the interpretation until you tell us the dream. He said, if you don't tell me the interpretation without me telling you the dream, he says, you're going to be slain and your houses are going to be made a dunghill. And not a very a picturesque way to look at your future. But the reality was, if they didn't come through on interpreting this dream, their lives would be taken from them. And of course, we come to in verses 10 and 11 and verse 12, it tells us what happens, that the decree goes out and that the people, these wise people, the astrologers and the others that he spoke to, the Chaldeans, would be put to death. Then Daniel gets word of it. Verse 13, it says, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. And Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. I think something we learn about Daniel even later on was that Daniel walked with the Lord. The Bible talks about his prayer life, that it wasn't something that just developed overnight in the heat of the moment. Lord, I need your help. You know, ASAP, please. Daniel was a man that walked with God in the good times and the bad times. And Daniel, the Bible says that he responded with counsel and wisdom. I think Daniel had maybe a well-balanced head on his shoulders that God had given to him. Dear Christians, that comes when you walk in the wisdom of God. Some chapters that I like in the book of Proverbs is Proverbs 8, and I think it's through verse number 10, where it's basically wisdom calling out to us. And if we would heed to the wisdom that God wants us to heed to, life would be so different. And the way that we act, the way that we live in our homes would be so different. And Daniel was a man that walked with God, and God would use him. When we think about our response, if we are to be a genuine wise man, a man that seeks the Lord, that listens to God when He's speaking, first of all, I say listen. Listen. I mentioned it earlier, 1 Samuel 3 and verse number 9. Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Reality is, you can't hear the message until you listen to it. As I listen to messages on podcasts, I can't hear anything until I hit the word play. If I never hit it, I'll never get the message. I could hit the word play and never turn the volume up and still not get the message unless there's closed caption on. Then I might be able to get it. But I need to be listening. I need to listen. Secondly, we need to use the time wisely. Use this time wisely. While God is speaking in these dark days, these confusing days, use this time wisely. Verse 15, it says, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the king known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions. Of course, we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His three companions, three men that he knew would seek the Lord. Three men that he knew were prayer warriors. Three men that he could turn to and know that they would ask for God's help. And I say under this, using our time wisely, don't be hasty. Now, I'm going to pray for 2 minutes. I've got my 2 minutes in today. I think on that Father's Day video, the one child talks about his dad praying for 1 minute. Guys, if that's our prayer life, we're in big trouble. You say, well, is there a certain amount of time? No. But it sure could be a lot more than what we give it. Honestly, it needs to be throughout the whole day that we are seeking God's Spirit to genuinely work. Don't be hasty. Take time. Daniel says, I need a bit of time. Daniel could have made up a response. But Daniel realized that first and foremost, I need to seek the Lord. And dads, before you can ever be the dad that your home, your family needs, you have to seek the Lord in private. You have to get into your closet and seek the Lord and get in God's Word and let God's Word get in you and change you to make you the father that God wants you to be. Take that time. Secondly, claim the window of opportunity. Claim the window of opportunity. Daniel went in, desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. He said, just give some time. He says, I'll be back and I'll have that interpretation for you. Number three, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known. And then in verse 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Daniel wasn't coming in a way of gossiping. Say, hey, did you hear what happened? Daniel's saying, hey, we got to pray, guys. It may be that we need to pray like we've never been before. Yes, Daniel's life was at stake, but you know, honestly, there were a whole lot of lost people's lives at stake as well. People that, if they had been killed in that moment, would have perished into the lake of fire for all of eternity. And I remind you that in these days where maybe we have grown cold and apathetic and uncaring about the things of the Lord, I challenge you and implore you, especially those of you that are listening that are men and those that are listening that are fathers, our time is short. You just said don't be hasty. That's why I say get to your knees and spend time in prayer, seeking God for His help, because we desperately need it. Seek the Lord. Pray for mercy. Pray for mercy. Pray for guidance. Pray for guidance. It says there in verse number 18, it says, desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Only God knows. I have to look to the Lord. Pray for mercy. Pray for guidance. Psalm 25, verse 14, it says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Proverbs 28 and verse number 5 says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. You want the answer today? Turn to the Lord. You're a lost person, you that are listening without Christ. Do you want the answer to life? The solution to life? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Him. He is seeking for you. Will you turn and seek for Him? He will be found, as Jesus promises to us. And then thirdly, pray for the preservation of life. It says here in the end of verse 18, that his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. In John chapter 10 and verse number 10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, speaking of the shepherd, and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Your parents, I wonder, do you pray for the protection of your home? Do you leave that television unguarded? Do you leave your internet, your various devices, just to your children to decide what they're going to do? You say, I check up on them every now and again. But what happens in the in-between? What are you giving them opportunity to have for the devil to work? Pray for the preservation or the protection of your family. So we've looked at here underneath this last point, letter A, listen. Secondly, use the time wisely. And thirdly, watch God's Spirit work. Watch God's Spirit work. In verse number 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings, and giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Watch God's Spirit work. The secret was revealed. Nextly, recognize God's sovereignty and supremacy in every life. At verses 27 and verse number 8. He says in verse 28, look at verse 28, it says, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And then Daniel goes into explaining to him the interpretation of that tower that was built, that statue that was built. And that's obviously a whole different message to preach at a different time. But here we learn that the wise men, quote-unquote wise men, could not. Daniel, a genuine wise man, the one who sought the Lord, was able to see the answer. Sadly, in a day in which we live where atheism is all around us, the atheists are looked at as the intellectuals of our day, those that are intelligent. Your friend listening, the Bible clearly says if you don't believe that God exists, you are called a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Reality is you are not wise, as Paul says in the book of Romans, professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. The modern day ideologies that push God out are looked at as truth, leading to freedom. These will come to naught. They will come to waste. And those answers that we thought were the solutions we needed will not be what we needed. But Daniel says God can. God has the answers. I trust that you'll turn to Him, listen to Him today. Very quickly as we close, in 37 and 38, we see to remember the God-given authority of every leader. The God-given authority of every leader. You know, many of us have been concerned at what our government is doing, how they're leading us, what's up their sleeves, what tricks do they have, what deception are they playing. Please remember that God has allowed them to have their positions, their place of authority. We won't read the verses now, but verse 37 and verse 38. We see it very clearly. These places have been given to them, their place of leadership, their authority, their position, their strength, their might, their physical ability, their glory, their honor, their respect. This ought to lead us to pray for these people. First of all, that God would save them, because they can't lead this country according to the Word of God until they know Jesus Christ, until they have the wisdom of God in their life. And the more that you pray for somebody, the more that you will care for their needs rather than talk about them. And I'm guilty, just like many of us are guilty, and doing such things. But Daniel recognizes the sovereignty of God. And lastly, rejoice in the guaranteed reign of Jesus Christ. In verse 44, it says it there, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." And if you were to take time to look at that statue that was built, and what happened as Jesus Christ will come in and that statue would be just completely demolished, that Jesus Christ would reign, He would set up His kingdom, and one day we look forward to that, and we don't have to fear in these days of wondering what's going to happen. We can trust in our Father, the one who promises us that He will reign. In a day of much confusion, anger and hatred and turmoil, and even sadly tolerance for sin, it's important that we listen to the voice of God. Dads, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You don't have much time to do it. Take advantage of it. Listen to God as He speaks to you. Moms, be the keepers at home that God wants you to be, to protect your children, your family, from the enemy. Children, as I said earlier, obey and honor your parents. Don't fear in these fearful days, but listen to what God is saying to you and obey. And lastly, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your lost one, true wisdom is found by turning to the Lord. Stop looking to the world for the answers. All too often we'll Google search something and that's where we get our answers. Or, hey Siri, or hey, whatever device you may have in your home, and you talk to it and look for the answers. Turn to the Lord. Jesus Christ is the answer. He is calling to you today. Are you listening? Most of all, when God is speaking, will you be obedient? Will you obey? Has God spoken to you? No doubt He's spoken to some today. He's spoken to me. And I hope that we will be obedient as the Lord would have us to be.